Well, thank you to everyone who made this happen and continues to make this happen. I'm going to start with some water poems because it's spring and why not? My heart does a cannonball from the springboard, not like the heart of the little girl who walked to the bobbing end, curled her toes over the gritty edge, looped her thumbs, gently raised her hands above her head, and leaned forward until gravity took her body. My heart is the heart of the redheaded wild boy who hauled himself up the ladder, skipping rungs because it was faster, ran 1, 2, 3 steps to leap from the end of the board to devastate the surface of the water and any little girl teetering over the edge. My baptism. I was 13 and ready to believe I needed to be cleansed, baptized in a local lake, a dammed up river. Maybe it was a warm day when I handed my pink-rimmed glasses to my mother and the world blurred into early spring greens and grays. I waded 5 strides into the cold brown water, last year's chucks saved for this occasion, sunk into the muddy bottom, rooting me into place as I took Pastor Brown's hand. Over a one-piece swimsuit, sweatpants, and a dark t-shirt, now wet up to my waist, pulled back and forth with the current. The sudden weight of my swamped clothes, strong as the draw of sin, threatened to pull me under. Just as I had been taught, and after a prayer, hummed a lahum, praise Jesus, his hand between my shoulder blades, the other on my forehead, my deep breath, Pastor Brown sent me under. Not long, but long enough to wonder when he was going to pull me up. After, I adjusted my feet, hoped my shoes would come with them. Pastor Brown kept his hand between my shoulder blades, on my forehead. He was joyous. Hum-de-la-hum, praise Jesus. Brothers and sisters, welcome this new creature in Christ. As I stood, goosebumped by the breeze, dripping over the murky water, little sticks floated past. Without my glasses, they looked like that gross joke, Snickers in a pool. So I've always been very envious of anyone with nice handwriting, and I also understand that sadly that's becoming a dying art. The art of handwriting. 1. How different would life be if I had mastered the voluptuous art of handwriting? If I had learned to form a cursive A like a champion eggplant, just like the girls who made good decisions, not just good grades, instead of the all-elbows star with which I begin my name, that limp bikini, all triangles and strings. 2. Some letters find elegance despite my stunted script, my catching wrist, my fingers pressing too hard on the pen. Lefty Lee loops like the twirling ribbon of a rhythmic gymnast, like her body, peaks and valleys, rolling hills. Alone at my kitchen table, I practice the joy of a ballpoint pen, push blue grooves across the white lid of a polystyrene takeout container. 3. It's 4th of July in the city. Excitement hangs in clouds from blown powder kegs. In my backyard, I write perfectly with the tip of a sparkler, whirling vowels and consonants, lighting one blaze from another until I can close my eyes and see my scripted name in light, the way I want to see all words, brilliant, burning, connected. As Jan mentioned, I successfully defended my MFA thesis recently. Thank you. Thank you. I took 5 years to finish the program, and halfway through, I had a baby. So suddenly, my writing took a kind of a different bent. So So the next few poems are addressing that change. Potential. Trailing my husband through the hardware store, I'm a wave of southern summer, tender on ripe tomato feet, my belly a prize-winning melon. In the aisles, I read blister packs, examine metal tips, rubber nubs, plastic-coated handles. I work the hinges, finger the colorful wires and caps. I study the names of things, plaster of Paris, hex bolts, screw eyes, struts. Soon we will choose a name for our daughter, a measure for where she'll be ordered in those long years of classrooms, letters to identify her, script on paper, print on a screen. What I'll call out up the stairs, across the backyard garden, in the hardware store when she wanders off. I sing the name game, ring out nicknames, cool or cruel. I can't know her or what she wants to be called. I think how big a job Adam had, too big for one man, really. How he awoke in the garden next to the most beautiful creation, studied her, turned her over, worked her hinges, imagined her potential. When Adam proclaimed her name like a smile, the fate of the world fell down her throat before his tongue came to rest in his mouth. I study the names I like, Penelope, Evangeline, Genevieve, Jane. Turn them over, work their hinges, imagine who I'd be if they were mine. Musica Universalis. And here you are, icky and grieving. They smear ointment on your eyes and hand you over. The first time I hold you outside my body, my mind staggers over how instantaneous, how long it took for you to be. Like stepping on ice, I feel my left foot go too far. The world tilts sideways in my hip. My head stop at the concrete. All the while I think, as if writing, I'm falling. After I had my baby, I realized how everything in the world is sharp corners and steep cliffs. Dogs of love. The summer you were born, a little boy was eaten alive. At 2 years old, he was curious, too small to see over the zoo's railing. His mother lifted him up and let him fall into a pit of painted African dogs. Lifted with hormones, droopy from interrupted sleep, I fell in love with you that summer and let this story slip away. I had to be able to leave our house with you to re-enter the vicious world. Sunday at the museum, we rush coats, hats, gloves, before the last flight of dark gray stone stairs, before the grocery, then home to cook, to eat, then bath, books, and sleep. My back turned for a second. What is beyond the museum's artful stairwell, its unrailed sides, that severe drop like sheer walls of a pit? At 19 months, your world up to this moment, both safety gates, five-point harnesses, wrapped hands always close and ready. But you make it two strides from the open edge. One of your stumbles in the teeth of wild dogs would forever gnash each Sunday, snap the neck of every trip past any museum. I would be left limp-handed and circling. Then I have one short poem to end on, and this is for the Mad Women. Mad Woman Stacy Waite took a group of us out into the woods a few years ago. And this is something I've learned from the Mad Women. To age. While camping in the woods, she vows she will begin to thicken, bust to sprout those rungs of sturdy boughs, and earn a hard and gnarled trunk. To change her will take a chainsaw. No small injection will smooth her husk. And decades after churning dirt for deep water, her thick roots will still hunt. Thank you. And next up is Michelle Marr.